यमुना धीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। Today's her birthday, I think. Narayanam namaskritya naram seva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet नष्टप्रायेश भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 14 किंग पुरुरव एंचेंटेड बाय उर्वशी टेक्स्ट 21 एताव उर्ण कौराजन न्यासो रक् क्षवमानद संरम्स्ये भवता साकम् श्लाघ्य स्त्रीणां वरस्मृतः एतावूरणको राजन् न्यासौ रक्षवमानदा संरम्स्ये भवता साकम् श्लाघ्यस्त्रीणां वरस्मृत। Etau, these two. Uranakau, lambs. Rajan, O King Pururava. Nyasau, who have fallen down. Rakshasva, please give protection. Manada, O one who gives all honor to a guest or visitor. Samramse, I shall enjoy sexual union. Bhavata sakam, in your company. Slagyah, superior. Strinam, of a woman. Varaha, husband. Smritaha, it is said. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear King Pururava, please give protection to these two lambs who have fallen down with me. Although I belong to the heavenly planets and you belong to earth, I shall certainly enjoy sexual union with you. I have no objection to accepting you as my husband, for you are superior in every respect. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:40, Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kotishva ashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam. There are various planets and various atmospheres within the universe. The atmosphere of the heavenly planet from which Urvashi descended after being cursed by Mitra and Varuna was different from the atmosphere of this earth. Indeed, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets are certainly far superior to the inhabitants of earth. Nonetheless, Urvashi agreed to remain the consort of Pururava, although she belonged to a superior community. A woman who finds a man with superior qualities may accept such a man as her husband. Similarly, if a man finds a woman who is from an inferior family but who has good qualities, he can accept such a brilliant wife as advised by Sri Chanakya Pandita, Stri Ratnam Dushkuladapi. The combination of male and female is worthwhile if the qualities of both are on equal level. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I guess you, all of you, are more familiar with the story than, I guess, some of us who are not here every day. The story starts abruptly. The descendants of these kings are being spoken, and they say such and such Buddha's son was King Pururava. And then the story of Pururava is spoken, that he happened to meet a heavenly damsel by the name Urvashi. And Urvashi was, I guess, wandering on earth,
because she was cursed by Mitra and Varuna in the heavenly realm. So she happened to be in the earthly realm. And she met King Pururava, who was very delightful. And King Pururava's eyes fixed on her. And when he saw her, he was so enchanted. The hair on his body began to stand in end. He was enamored by her beauty. And he proposed to her, "Why don't we get together and get married and live happily ever after?" King Pururava did not know what marriage means. He cannot live happily ever after. Anyway, I have a lot of husband-wife jokes for you today. I hope this morning is okay for you. So then she agrees to marry him. And her, I guess, acceptance is that I find you superior to me in all respects. That's what the verse says. And she asks him to take care of two lambs. And the mystery of the lambs will come later. So Prabhupada first distinguishes that people on earth and people in the higher realms generally don't mix with each other. One, because we cannot see them. That's one reason to not mix, because we don't even know. And second of all, our lifestyle on earth is very different from lifestyle of people on higher planets. In higher planets, people live a more sophisticated life, less to do with machinery and more to do with mysticism, for example. Now it is said that you can recognize a human from a demigod simply by one very obvious one. The humans walk on ground. The demigod's feet will never touch the ground, because it's very gross to walk on ground when you can fly or move about. Plus there are many other characteristics. You know, their bodies are made with much finer elements. Although earth, water, fire, air, ether, not in such a gross form where there is blood and urine and stool and all that mucus. It's not like that. So for us, I guess the only comparison is we may be living, let's say we are living in America, and we have a certain style of sophisticated lifestyle, and we won't go into the jungles in the Amazon somewhere and get married to some Amazonian tribal person there, because there is nothing common in lifestyle. When we look at the way perhaps they hunt or they live in a thatched roof, you know, or they live under a tree, or live in a very, what we call, primitive way. It doesn't attract our lifestyle if I have a car and highways and, you know, exits and malls, and the lifestyles just don't match. So when lifestyles don't match on the gross level, on the subtle level, it's an indication that two people's desires don't match. And marriage is a combination of two people where at least their desires match or their value systems match. When two people's value systems don't match, you cannot have a marriage, let alone you can't even have a friendship. It's very difficult. You'll find that within the value system, persons can express it differently, which is fine. But if the value systems themselves are very different, then there cannot be friendship or any sort of bonding. Right? If I have a friend who believes in lying and cheating and debauchery, and my value system may be different, I cannot have friendship with such a person. Although externally, see, this is where modern concept of marriage and I guess traditional concepts of marriage are different. In modern concept, there is very little time to understand a person's nature fully. And by the time they understand each other's natures, they've spent a lot of time together. And then they decide, oh, it's not going to work on. We have to move on. In other ways, there are ways in which a person's value system could be understood. You know, if you understand what the person does, how do they handle difficult situations, what is their value for money, what is their value for certain aspects of life. When a person's questioned or people who know tell the person, then you know, okay, their nature is such. So the reason why two people's value system need to match is because we act from our value system. We don't act from what we say. For example, if you ask a person consciously, is it okay to lie? Most people will say, no. Which is true, it's not okay. However, the one's value system starts acting out, what we sometimes call this swabhava or inner nature, whatever word you want to use it. It acts out when a person is in a particular difficult situation. And in that difficult situation, it's one's nature that responds more than the conscious thinking. If someone's in a very sticky situation and they have to get out of it, even if they should not lie, the value system, if it's there, that it's okay to avoid such a big thing, they will lie. For example, I'm simplifying it, but you get the idea. And those two value systems, they have to match between two persons. Only then there is some bonding. There's a similar thing that Prabhupada talks about in Nectar of Devotion, if you remember reading in the preface. Prabhupada says that love can be exchanged among species of the same kind. Or rasa, he uses the word rasa. Rasa means some enjoyment in a relationship. It can be exchanged in between two persons or two entities of the same species. This is how he starts Nectar of Devotion book. So people say, why, I love my dog and my dog loves me back. So how can you say that there's no love exchange? There is. But the dog's way of expressing love is he wags his tail and licks your face. And that's about what he can do. But a dog cannot sit down and say, can I talk to you? What's going on with you? Or when you express what's going on in your heart, the dog cannot respond back or give advice or be empathetic. It has a sense of empathy in a different way. So it's at some point that exchange of love is curbed or limited or not fully expressed. But with a human being, we can. Unfortunately, two humans don't know how to interact so well, so they have to find it in a dog. It's a different story. But actually, exchanges between two entities of the same species. Similarly, not exactly the same, but similarly, there are two value systems. And people from different value systems cannot connect so well with each other unless they learn the other person's value system or step into living that person's value system. That's when you can have a friendship and a bonding, no problem. Suppose my value system is of hedonism, that it's okay to drink and enjoy and be merry, and someone else doesn't have that, it's a little difficult. So you have to find certain values that are common and hold on to that commonality. That's why you find certain marriages, husband is one type, the wife is a completely another type, but what holds them is some common value. Sometimes it's a religious belief that holds them together, a certain common religious value. certainly some social value, some ethical value that holds them together. And if nothing else, it's a materialistic value. She loves money, I love money, we're together. But it has to be something that is common. Otherwise, it's not possible. So Urvashi, hanging out on earthly planet and finding someone to marry, is just not possible. So King Indra has these, Prabhupada calls them heavenly dancers. I don't know the best way to explain it without insulting them, so I don't know. But there are these persons, her name is Urvashi, there is Rambha, there is Menaka, Purvachitti, there's a list. And different times in history, these ladies associate with each other, with other people in the heavenly realms. And they are at Indra's command to go and do his calling. For example, when sage Vishwamitra was meditating, and he was performing very intense austerities because he wanted to become a Brahmarishi, a sage of a particular type. Indra felt threatened because previously Vishwamitra was a king. And when he saw him meditating, he thought, maybe he wants to be Indra. How do I disturb? What's the best way to disturb a sage's meditation? You agitate him sexually. So he sent Menaka. Go. Work your charm on him. So Vishwamitra was eyes closed, standing on one leg in cold water, just not disturbed by anything. When Menaka walked by, the tinkling of her ankle bells, because she walked in a particular way that agitated his mind, that he broke his whole meditation, lived a life with her for many thousands of years, and one day woke up and said, "What is going on? Where have I arrived here? My gosh." And went back to meditation. So Indra has certain, I guess, persons that he sends to disturb other people's minds. So Urvashi, Rambha, Menaka, they're all part of that entourage. In this case, Urvashi was cursed by Mitra and Varuna. Although it's not her fault, but they cursed her to go to earth, be like a human being. It was like a downgrade. Chah, look at you, become a human being. Behave like a human being. So she showed up on earth and she met King Pururava. So Prabhupada saying that on the heavenly realm and earthly realm, lifestyles, values, desires, aspirations are so far removed from each other that there cannot be any relationship between a person here and a person there. Absolutely not. There cannot be. However, because Urvashi came here, she found Pururava as good as a heavenly person, as someone living in the higher planets, and she accepted him. Yeah, you're definitely someone I will marry. So Prabhupada's quoting Chanakya Pandit that a match between a man and a woman is worthwhile if the qualities of both are on an equal level. Now it's very difficult to ascertain how each person's quality is on an equal level. It's very difficult to ascertain, by the way, because you don't know. Each person responds to different circumstances with different intensity of qualities. So we can't tell. It is a very difficult thing to ascertain whether two people's qualities are on the same level. However, matches are made, if at all they're made, or people find is when they, like I said, have something in common. And that common value, as long as it remains a value, holds them together. The day the values change or get modified or are not important anymore, you find the two people cannot stay together. even if they are in a bond of marriage, they have nothing that they can share beyond sharing a house or space. They become roommates. They're not wife and husband. Generally, if there is sexual connection, then people say, oh, they're wife and husband. But nowadays, that's not the reference point. There has to be something common in general that holds the relationship for a very long time. That is why, let's take it outside husband-wife relationship into, let's say, a guru-disciple relationship. As long as the values are common, the guru wants to make sure that the disciple goes back to Godhead, and the disciple wants to go back to Godhead, then that relationship continues. If from the disciple side that changes for whatever reason, then a whole lot of other things will come into the dynamic and the relationship will not be strong. Whether it's guru-disciple, a teacher and a student, two friends, whatever it is, as long as that commonality is there, the relationship is there. The day it moves. So you see, two men, okay, when they are college roommates or friends, they have certain common values, okay, partying or going to school together with certain value of, you know, we want to make it in life, etc. As soon as one of them has a girlfriend, this fellow's values change, right? He wants to hang out with her because now he's thinking of a life with his future and settling down and, you know, having a stable job, things of that nature, for example. And the other friend prior to that was, we don't care for the future, we'll just party, you know, whatever, we'll take life as it comes. But as soon as for one of them, that value system shifts, for these two, the friendship becomes weaker. That's how the nature is. When we take our relationships with all our relatives, there was a different value system, we all hung out together. When we started practicing Krishna consciousness, our value system changed. Or is changing, I should say. Certain values make sense. Non-violence, living a life of mercy, no intoxication, no gambling. Certain things become our value system, or are becoming our value system, as Prabhupada taught. So you don't find any commonality with family now. You have to find something that holds you together. So the only thing that holds together is blood relationship, because there is a relationship. Unless they also value our values, we don't find a connection. That's just what's being spoken here. So in Pururava and Urvashi, they found a commonality in terms of their values. So they decided to get married. We'll find out how it turned out. It's very interesting how it turns out. Any questions, comments? Bhumika? You have a mic for her? Okay, I'll repeat the question because it gets recorded. Go ahead. Vara and Varaha, two different words. Vara means husband or a match. So previously, certain ways of marriage were what's called Swayamvara. Swayam means on one's own. So the girl would find her match on her own, Swayamvara. Anything, Jitendra Prabhu? The mic's not working. When you first came to Krishna, I'm to repeat so that it gets recorded. So when you first came to Krishna consciousness,
When I first came to Krishna consciousness, it was stressed that if you avoid marriage, your chances of going back to Godhead are many fold. So that always stuck in my mind. And I remember Romapad Swami saying, being a sannyasi or brahmachari, we're just taking the easy way out, path of least resistance. And myself, just seeing what my parents went through, it's something that I wanted to avoid. So that's why I, you know, just kind of where I'm at today, you know, because of that initial teaching. And that was really, I remember that was really introduced to the new devotees when they came. But, you know, but then it, Prabhupada says that most people will become householders, but I always like the single life myself. I always liked the single life myself. I mean, I had such an appreciation for Prabhupada's books that I was able to avoid many pitfalls. So that was just my situation. But thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Krishna Archana. I was going to say something, but I'll...
You had not wanted to define that category of celestial women that are under Indra's command, but in this particular pastime, and you were stressing the underpinning of the value system needing to be similar in order for the bond to be there. So in this particular pastime, the value was understood mutually. King Purarava recognized in Urvasi something, and she responded accordingly, and that something was a kind of physical underpinning in the relationship, or an emphasis on the physicality of the relationship. So, you know, one could say that that's a value, but it seems a very fragile. Yes, and also fragile on the level of bond that would sustain a relationship that you were pointing out had such a huge discrepancy in terms of the very nature of the beings being from different planetary systems. So it seems so tenuous, that connection. So I guess I'm a little bit surprised that you know, an intelligent king you know, would respond just to that that he recognized in Urvasi, that I guess that necessity for that sensual enjoyment factor being the basis of the relationship.
Thank you for bringing that out. While there is all value system and all that, in this case specifically, it's a very highly carnal connection. He's looked at her form and her pleasing figure and eyes and lips, and just the whole thing is so attractive that he's unable to control himself. He's so sexually agitated. So that is one of the issues that the heavenly persons, Urvashi, Ramba, Menaka, they're not human beings. So our standard of human, standard of beauty, whatever that means, is at this level, let's say. Urvashi, Ramba, Menaka belong to a whole different level of beauty. And so that kind of beauty stands in front of Pururava. All his senses are completely agitated, and he doesn't know how to control himself. And that's why he's blurting. He's a big king, and he's petitioning in a very
I don't know what to say, almost like a very weird pickup line, you know, it's just really bad. But that's what it is. At this point, the commonality is, although previously his great qualities are being spoken about, with his beauty, personal qualities, magnanimity, behavior, wealth, power, etc. Still, all those values may not have been commonality because he doesn't know Urvashi. It's just the carnal, physical beauty has sent him over the top. Because this is one reason there's no commonality, because we don't know how these heavenly persons look. You see that picture there of Kunti Devi meeting Vivaswan? Because she had the mantra by Durvasa Muni that she could petition any person from the heavenly realms. And she was a very young girl, so her curiosity got the better of her, and she actually recited that mantra looking at Suryadev. And lo and behold, he showed up at her door. And if you look at the painting, her hand is over her mouth because she's just completely astonished as to what kind of charming, powerful, bright, effulgent, strong personality Vivaswan walking right into her house. Because that sense of physical beauty is very, very strong. So in this case also, it's just been agitated by it. And previously, Mitra and Varuna, who cursed Urvashi, were also unable to control themselves when they looked at her. They got agitated. And that's why she got cursed. It's not her fault, but she got cursed. Prabhu, you have something?
I just wanted to follow up on Jitendra Prabhu's question or comment. What advice would you have for those who have fallen into the pit of marriage life? Who have fallen into the pit of marriage life?
What advice can a fallen one give others? When I close my eyes and look at myself, if I imagine myself as a brahmachari in saffron cloth, I have to laugh at myself because I just am not made for that type. Nor was I ever introduced or told about such a lifestyle. When I was a young boy, for me, the concept of brahmachari, because I had not met Prabhupada's devotees, for me, the word brahmachari and the person's brahmachari, when I saw them, I mean, it was a farce for me. I mean, it's just so vague, undefined. All I knew is they cannot have a girlfriend. That's all I knew. Brahmachari means he couldn't ever have a girlfriend. I thought that was quite boring. So my introduction to life and how it went, I sort of went through being completely unaware of a brahmacharya ashram. It was the lifestyle that most everyone takes. You study, you graduate, you get married, and you have a life. Only many years after I was married that we got introduced to Prabhupada's movement, and we saw what brahmacharyas do. It's like, wow, we didn't know that. that such an alternative exists, so that even one should go through that phase even before getting married. Now, in general, not everyone chooses such a lifestyle, and that's okay. There's a beautiful purport. I wish I can remember the chapter. If Madhav Gauranga was here, he will remember, because I gave him that reference. But I'll roughly, it's in the 8th canto, in the pastime of Gajendra, the elephant, fighting with the crocodile in the water. And there's one particular purport to the verse that the elephant, while he was fighting with the crocodile in water, there were two things happening. The elephant was becoming weaker and weaker, and the crocodile was becoming stronger and stronger. And Prabhupada writes, the reason is that the elephant is not in a position of strength, not in his natural environment. And the crocodile is in his natural environment, and so is becoming stronger. And Prabhupada writes that the main purpose of human life is to overcome, he uses the word fight, is to fight Maya, this illusory potency. So every person has to find their position of strength and fight from there. It's not that everyone can fight it as a brahmachari. It may not be their position of strength, because their inherent nature, their needs, what fires them up may be different from another person. So every person should find their, and Prabhupada in the purport says, I found that not everyone can be a sannyasi. And therefore, it's okay to get married as long as they continue the fight. You find their strong position and fight from there. That was the main crux of the verse. So, are there advantages of being a single person? Sure. There are many advantages. Many advantages. Sometimes those advantages are not what we want. So every person has to find what is it that gives them the strength, the inspiration, and the sense of wanting to continue serving Krishna in whatever position they find. And one should find that position. It's not about, oh, all these men are like this, therefore I should also be like this. No. Our process is an individual, personalized process. So I those who are fallen in the pit, well, I would say those who have chosen that lifestyle for whatever reason, then you find strength in that. So the issue is not whether one is single or married. Yes, there are advantages, no doubt. You know, just the fact that what you have to spend and take care of one versus two or three or four is very different. The responsibility of another person, you know, although throughout the rest of life, is a whole different ball game. Yes. However, if one finds strength in that to be able to serve Krishna better, then that's their path. So it's a matter of finding one's strong position. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna wants to quit fighting, he is given the same advice. Arjuna, find your nature and engage according to your nature. Because doing someone else's activity better is worse than doing one's own activity, even if not done so well. It's far better to do one's own activity by one's nature, even if not so well, than to do someone else's, but very well. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one to find our nature, and a tough one to find what gives us strength in serving Krishna. Am I in the neighborhood of answering your question at all, or have I gone all over the place? I'm okay. Jitendra Prabhu, you have something else? In support of the single men?
Well, come on.
It says everybody acts according to the nature in which he is acquired. But Prabhupada says, analyze the trap and get out. You know, with the torchlight of knowledge, you destroy the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna consciousness is, you know, it's total, you know, illumination. So if people can act on that knowledge, then they've actually acquired it. Gyan and vigyan, you know. Gyan is knowledge and vigyan is acting on that knowledge. And Prabhupada says true hearing is acting on what you've heard. And the clarity of the subject matter depends on the person, not on the subject itself. Prabhupada gives the example that the sun is available for everybody, but some people will remain in darkness and some will come to the light. So it's an individual decision, but when you know you analyze the whole situation, you know, you take the path of least resistance. So that's what I've learned, you know.
If you notice in general, it takes many years to find out what one's nature is. That's one. And second, core nature does not change easily. How much ever jnana you put in it and vijnana is there, it changes on the surface, but the core nature does not change so easily. It's not easy because core nature is formed by many, many lifetimes of conditioning. So while on a day-to-day basis it seems that the core nature has changed, actually we should all take stock year after year, 6 months, whatever, take stock of what was my nature before and what is my nature now. Has Prabhupada's teachings molded my nature? Otherwise, it only molds the surface but not the core. And that's why you find people say, this is who I am. This is who I am is not the strength, there's something else. Who I am is a conditioned nature. And unfortunately or fortunately, without blame, our core nature to a large degree remains. It doesn't change so quickly. It takes years of or very strong practices to break that. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Sense gratification, that's all they know, is what Prabhupada said. It's all they know, not just when we are born, it's all we know since many lifetimes. It's just different forms of it. So to break that is not easy. And so who does it? Fantastic. Hurrah, fantastic. However, Prabhupada's teaching is not that everyone has to break that. Prabhupada's teaching is you find what suits your nature the best to become Krishna conscious, this way or that way. But become Krishna conscious, that's more important. It's not what ashram you're in. This was Sunday night's lecture where the verse that was being quoted was Sthane Sthita Shruti Gatan Tanuvan Manobhi. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeated again and again because he himself was a sannyasi, but he gave instructions to his followers according to their nature. In fact, there's a situation where three brothers are in the same room with him and he looks at one and he tells him, you should remain a brahmachari. He looks at his brother next to him and says, you should get married and take care of deity worship. He looks at a third brother and says, you should become a sannyasi. Why didn't he tell everyone, don't fall into this pit, everyone be a brahmachari? According to nature, find their strength and serve Krishna. That's the thing. Are we serving Krishna in whatever situation we are in? That's the art of it. Not necessarily where we are standing under it. Urugai Prabhu.
I just wanted to make a little comment because it seems like what Jitendra Prabhu is saying, that if you truly follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then you should remain single and brahmachari. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the highest brahmachari that we can practically imagine. And he sent many disciples to spread the Krishna consciousness to the West. His disciples went to England before, and they came pretty much empty-handed. And then he instructed one of his household disciples, and Srila Prabhupada went to the West and made spread the movement throughout the whole world. So it's not just that only, you know, brahmacharis can have the highest benefit of these teachings. I mean, we can see from the life of Srila Prabhupada as a grihastha what he has achieved. So anyway, there's a different side to the story.
This back and forth between whether one should remain single or as a brahmachari or should become a householder. Actually, in the life cycle of a man, from a recommended, life cycle, this is what's recommended. As a child, up to a certain age, one should be trained in the principles of celibacy, should be trained in the principles of everything belongs to my guru. Everyone should be trained. Some of us didn't get because we were introduced to Krishna consciousness later. But ideally, everyone should be trained until they, what they call, graduate. In Sanskrit, the word is called snataka. Snataka means graduating. And at that point, that man has the choice to either continue this way or to enter household life. And if he decides to enter household life, it doesn't mean that something has fallen. It just means that it's now taking what he was trained in to continue life like that with someone else. And in that, then some who continue as monks are called Naishtika Brahmacharis. And that's okay. That's wonderful. They are the next candidates for sannyas, quick sannyas. Otherwise, one should go through, in general, one should go through the phases of their Varna and Ashram. Very, very. Otherwise, in all of scripture, Varna and Ashram would not have been even discussed. I'm studying 11th canto the other day, and Krishna is very specifically saying that one should always keep me in his mind and follow his Varna Ashram duties properly. So every person's Varna and Ashram changes. And the Ashram is designed in such a way to bring a person towards, you know, enlightenment or Krishna consciousness. And it's very necessary, because when a person works or acts not in tune with his nature, he's dissatisfied. And a person who's dissatisfied cannot feel connection with Krishna. So that Varnashram system is there to find one's occupation and life work and life stage in tune with one's nature. And as one becomes enlightened, then those ashram situation keeps changing. It's not just grahastha, then there's supposed to be a vanaprastha style, then there is a sannyas style. So the vanaprastha style is, the day-to-day engagements are not there. There are higher things to consider, higher dimensional things to fully engage oneself in. But one cannot do that without doing the previous phase properly as a grahastha. And as a grihastha, one cannot find oneself well settled or trained if they are not trained properly in brahmacharya principles. So for those of us who enter Krishna consciousness as householders, there's a lot of adjustment period in learning how to be trained in a way of, principles of celibacy, principles of, proprietorship, everything belongs to Krishna and Guru. This takes so much more training.
But however, who's young men who are trained properly, when they enter grihastha life, it's a lot easier because they've gone through a natural progression. So it's a point of finding one's nature and serving Krishna from there. Whatever one's nature is, for whatever reason, their nature. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.